Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. You can find it on page 59 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own heart as well." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord.
Will you pray with me? Lord, as we worship you and your Son, Jesus Christ, let our hearts and minds pay attention to your word. Please guide the words of my mouth that they may help to bring understanding to all of us here today. In the name of your Son, we ask it. Amen. The northern lights are visible, so they say, from Minot, North Dakota, from the air base where I lived for the past 8 years. I diligently looked for these northern lights for quite some time, figuring that if everybody said they were there, they should be there. And I dutifully would check the weather. I would check the solar conditions. I found there are several apps for that. But I just wasn't seeing them. What I was seeing, which seemed mysterious, on my way home, oftentimes from Bible study late at night, was this white archy thing across the horizon. It looked kind of like a rainbow, except obviously it wasn't. And it was too symmetrical to be a cloud. And it wasn't foggy. I mean, it just wasn't a foggy kind of thing. So we couldn't figure out what this thing was. And it was there on numerous nights. It wasn't just a one-time thing. So a friend of mine and I, since it was kind of over the base and we were both military, we dubbed it the alien force shield, for lack of anything else to call it. Well, in talking with some of the locals as far as what is this thing, we described what it was, we found out that, in fact, that was the Northern Lights. Once I discovered that, I learned that I could follow with my eye this white-ish thing, the alien force shield, off to the horizon, and then I would see the dancing piano key green lights that I was expecting, the really mystical light show. And I'll tell you, if you haven't seen the Northern Lights, it's worth every moment to get up at 2 in the morning and get my dog and load and go in the car for a few miles further north from base and just sit in the car and watch the show. It was wonderful. Unlike Simeon and Anna, who knew what they were looking for and found it, they found the Messiah, I was struggling to find something that I thought I understood but didn't. Once I figured it out, then there it was. There are many stories in the gospel about Jesus that appear in more than one book. But there are also a number of stories that just appear in one book. And Simeon, the story of Simeon and Anna and their journey with Jesus, is one of these stories that just appears only in the book of Luke. It immediately follows the birth story, so it's an after Christmas type of story. And it's important for us for several reasons. One, it sets the stage for Jesus' mission, for his work. And it also offers words of wisdom to all of us for our own lives. Just a little bit of background as far as the story. Throughout the Old Testament and even into a portion of New Testament times, ritual purity was a huge deal. If you were ritually impure, and there were all kinds of things that had nothing to do with sin, if you were ritually impure, if you had been sick, there are a number of different things, you pretty much were isolated from the community and could not go to the temple until you went through a purity ritual and became pure again. Childbirth was one of those things that made a woman impure. If she bore a son, she was impure for 40 days. If it was a daughter, it was 60 days. So Mary and Joseph's journey to the temple 40 days after Jesus' birth, in part, there were two reasons that they were going. One was for Mary to undergo the ritual purity ceremony. The other was to dedicate Jesus to God. Another Mosaic law throughout the Old Testament stated that the firstborn, if the firstborn was a son, he needed to be dedicated to the Lord. So Mary was going to Jerusalem, to the temple, for two reasons: for her own purity and to dedicate Jesus to God. Now, when they got to this temple, they met Simeon. Simeon, according to Scripture, was an older man. He was a holy man. And he had been waiting for the Messiah, whom he knew was going to be the salvation of Israel. He had also been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. So he was waiting patiently, waiting quietly, and then got direction from the Holy Spirit to go to the temple. He went to the temple the same time Mary and Joseph were there with infant Jesus. And he immediately recognized what he was looking for. He immediately recognized Jesus as being the Messiah. His words to Mary constitute the third hymn in the gospel birth story. There are three hymns. One is from Zechariah at the time of the birth of John the Baptist. The second is the canonical of Mary when she visited Elizabeth during her first 3 months of pregnancy. And then we have this song from Simeon, which is the third. I'm just going to read it again. Simeon took him, Jesus, in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." In that passage, Simeon identifies Jesus as the Messiah. He sets the stage for his future work, the Messiah, the light of revelation. And he also explains that Christ's work is going to be for all people, not just the Jews, not just the Israelites, but for all people. And he explains to Mary that it's not going to be easy. Now, there's another person in the temple by the name of Anna, who is a prophetess, again, of old age, somewhere probably between 80 to 90, depending on how you work the figures in the scripture. She had been living at the temple for years. She was a widow, also waiting for the Messiah. Together, she and Simeon had been patiently waiting, trusting God that he would work on his time frame. And most importantly, they recognized the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, "The future is here now in front of you." Interestingly enough, theologians feel that Simeon and Anna were the last two prophets of the Old Testament period. And in that sense, by Jesus meeting them, he actually met his people Israel. So how does this apply to us today? Here we are, New Year's Eve. Our focus, we kind of think about the past, and we think about the future. Maybe, wish I could have done things different in the past. Wistful thoughts, hopeful thoughts about the future. Simeon and Anna tell us to stay focused on the present. To stay focused on the present, otherwise we may miss what we're looking for in the future, which is really here now. They recognized and honored Christ, just like we need to recognize and make room for Christ in our lives today, in the present, in our hearts, and in our lives. As we look at this after Christmas story, there are three things that I would like for us to kind of take a look at. One is the need to recognize and accept Christ's gift to us, his gift of saving grace. Simeon and Anna recognized it. From the wooden frame of the manger to the wooden frame of the cross, Christ freely and unconditionally gave us the most precious gift. All we need to do is to accept it. As we learn from our Advent readings over the past month, Christ is with us always. He has been there before the beginning of time. He's with us in the future, and he's with us now as the future. We need to only accept, intentionally accept, the gift that he is giving us. As you recall in sharing gifts, somebody can give you a gift, but you really can't do anything with it or enjoy it until you accept it. And that acceptance doesn't just happen. You have to intentionally accept the gift. We need to intentionally accept Christ's gift of grace and salvation. Intentionally pick it up, hold it, and enjoy it. And how do we do that? By confessing our sin, by being able to go in front of Christ and God humbly and truthfully and be able to say, Lord, you gave your life for me. I give my life for you. Likewise, our relationship with Christ must be intentional, just as our acceptance of his gift of saving grace must be intentional. The shepherds got it. They could easily have said, you know, it's dark, it's cold, it's snowy, we've got this whole herd of sheep that we've got to deal with. Let's just wait until the next shift comes on in the morning, and then we'll go to Bethlehem. But they didn't. They went then. The Magi got it also. I can hear them talking. Geez, you know, this is going to be a long trip and riding on camelback. You know, the legroom's not that great and the seats aren't that comfortable. Do we really want to do this? But they did. And they reaped the reward. Simeon and Anna were intentional. They were intentional in their waiting. They were intentional in their listening to the Holy Spirit. But it's easy to get distracted. There are a gazillion things going on that we're trying to do. Okay, I'll read my devotions tomorrow or at the end of the day, and then the end of the day comes and you're exhausted. We need to intentionally devote time to Christ. That's the only way we're going to understand what God has in store for us, how we can work with him for ourselves, for the people around us, for our world. A suggestion that I would make, and I guess I'm speaking a little bit from experience on this, is to devote intentionally to dedicate 10 minutes in the day. 10 minutes for prayer, reading scripture, meditation, whatever. But 10 minutes, and whatever kind of structure you need, if it needs to be a certain time, that's sacred time, that's devotional time. But to make that commitment, I kind of stumbled onto that a few years ago and never looked back. It was life-changing. We also need to be informed, responsibly informed, about what is going on in our church, in our community, and in our world. Mary and Joseph were informed, and they listened to the angels. The shepherds were informed. The Magi were informed. And they all got it. They all understood. Our world is a diverse and unfortunately scary place right now. And it has been. Pastor Stephen, in his message last Sunday, talked about the Herods of antiquity and how they were present in our world today. The problem is, we don't know who they are. We may think we know who the Herods are, but we may not have it right. The oppressed may actually be the privileged. the privileged may actually be the oppressed. It can go back and forth. It's not obvious. Unlike the shepherds, we're not able to visit the scene in many cases. It's important. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our neighbors. We owe it to God to check out all sides of the story. Whether we're talking about things that we hear about the community, whether we're talking about things we hear about our nation, whether we hear stories in the Middle East, the rest of the world, we need to check out all sides of the story. We need to be able to look through the lens of the other before making our decisions. Christ is the future. He is the light of the future, now and forever. The Word became flesh and lived among us. As the light that the darkness cannot overcome, He gave us the most precious gift of grace and salvation. He gave it in the manger, and He gave it on the cross. We need to only intentionally make room for Him today and accept His gift of grace. That is the future. Maureen and her children's on the 4:30 Christmas Eve service had her eight ball. And I don't know how many of you remember these. I remember them from school. And you make your wish, or you ask your question, what's going to happen? And you mumbo-jumbo it, and the answer appears in the bottom side. But we don't need that. We don't need the magic eight ball. We've got Christ. We have Him now. He is with us now. He is our future. In a message a couple weeks ago, it was said, we do not need to make Christmas perfect. Christ already did that. Christmas is perfect. Life in Christ is perfect. The Word became flesh. The light shines, and the darkness did not overcome it. Let us pray. Lord God, as we move into the new year, we offer our thanks to You for the blessings and grace which You have so freely given us. We ask that You help us and guide us in spreading the light of Christ to others throughout the coming year. Amen.